Holy One, in the midst of pain, but also in the midst of joy, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of snow, and in the midst of sunshine, we look for you. Amen. When Jesus finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into the deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. The thing about fishing, and I'm sorry there's no children here to help me with this, the thing about fishing is that you can't see what's there. You don't actually know if there's any fish there. You can't see the bottom. You don't know if there are rocks or shoals or weeds or reeds, how shallow, how deep. You don't know if there are fish there at all. But there are. Many thanks to Carrie for providing that. We don't know. We set out fishing without being able to see the fish, without any certainty at all about what we will catch. Simon and James and John set out in their boats on a sea that they had fished their whole lives. Now, if anyone knew that sea, it was them. It was their lives and their livelihoods, that Sea of Galilee. They knew the beaches and the coves, the mountains that surround it, the places that were safe and the places that weren't. But still, from one day to the next, they don't know what the catch will be, where the fish are beneath the waves. They don't know all the streams that feed the sea, nor the underwater and underground waterways that connect it to the waters of the world. They are practical men, these fishers of Galilee. They are strong, hard-working people. Even so, they depend on their imaginations to keep them going to the next day. They have caught no fish today. They can see no fish at all. But still, their imagination and their experience will bring them back to fish tomorrow. The practice of fishing is always the possibility you can imagine, along with the practical experience and the intuition about the nature of water. The imaginative possibility is what makes fishing possible at all. You can't see what's there, but the imagination keeps you fishing. It leads to innovation and second tries. That imaginative possibility can feed a family and invent new ways of fishing. That imagination can raise the possibility that fish aren't the only thing worth fishing for. I have loved this book, McGilligut's Pool, since I was about 5 years old. The boy Marco sits by a tiny pool and can imagine a world he cannot see, full of amazing and wonderful creatures that are connected to the pool and to him. Fish with sails and sunburned whales, and fish that are grumpy, and fish who like flowers, and fish made of jelly, even fish that can ski. And do you know what's really amazing? That the oceans contain fish even more incredible than those. There is actually a fish whose head is transparent. There are fish that spit sand at one another when they're annoyed. There are boy fish that have babies. There are eels that make electricity, and there are fish that glow in the dark. We don't usually see them, but they're part of our waters right out here, and we are connected to them in ways that we don't understand, but that we intuit. We know it. We can feel it. Marco, sitting fishing at McGilligut's pool, knows without knowing that there is more to the pool than he can see, and he intuits that the water he sees is connected to the water that he doesn't see. He imagines the underground rivers and streams that connect him to people and places and creatures from the tropics to the Arctic. The story of McGilligut's pool starts with a confession. We don't usually think about it that way. I don't think I thought of it that way as a child. But it begins with a farmer confessing on behalf of his community. The only thing you'll catch in there are the things we've thrown in, because we've polluted the water and we haven't taken care. The story of Simon Peter begins with a confession. O Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. In both those stories, that acknowledgement does not end things. That confession is not the end. It is just the beginning of a life based on the imaginative possibility that all you can see is not all that there is. All that is past is not all that will be. Marco's journey of the imagination can seem silly, unrealistic, and yet his story is closer to the truth than that of the person who tells him he's a fool. The tiny pool is connected to the waters of the world, and the fish in this story are hardly more fantastic than the fish that actually exist. This is a community that was based on fishing. The first peoples came here to fish all summer long. They fished for oily fish like ulikan and sardines so they could keep oil through the winter. They fished for those strange fish that start off silver and turn bright pink. The salmon. They collected round, spiny fish called urchins for dessert. The Japanese people came, and the Europeans, and they all fished from here. And it's only a few years ago that this place, Lulu Island, Richmond, was no longer based in fishing and boat building and fish processing. This is a place that was built on the imaginative possibility of fishing. A place where, at one time, all the people based their lives on fishing for something you cannot yet see. In Dr. Seuss's book, there is an animal observer you probably didn't notice. A little bird that watches Marco and joins with Marco in the story. It's a funny little bird. In all of Seuss's books, there's usually an animal observer. Do you remember the fish and the Cat in the Hat? As there might be in a First Nations story, something that recognizes the relationship between the person in the story and the animals and the creation. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is usually represented as a bird, carrying wisdom or words. And the Holy Spirit is a symbol of the imaginative possibility of a life we can't yet see, of connections to people we don't know, and to all that is greater than we are. In the Bible, the bird can represent the Shekinah, the indwelling presence of God in the land and the waters. C.S. Lewis said that the childlike imagination is what brings us closer to God. To allow our adult imaginations to take wing in that childlike way is to be able to see with the eye of God. We, like the disciples, can begin lives based on that imagination that leads us to possibilities we can't yet see, relationships we can only imagine. And when people tell us we are foolish, perhaps we, like Marco, can say, oh, the sea is so full of a number of fish. If a fellow is patient, he might get his wish. And that's why I think that I'm not such a fool when I sit here and fish in this strange little pool. Amen.